five.
I see. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But see, you know what? We use some of the same material. You've heard of it, I know, I guess, if you're acquainted with rocks. Sand rock,
mm-hmm.
the soft rock,
mm-hmm.
kind of a clay rock. You know, where you take it and take a rag and wet it, you know, and just keep washing it. You know, it wasn't a polish at all. But that's what it's built out. Then you use cement, you know, cement it over. It's in pretty fast shape now, and it's still, you know, it hadn't lent the base, built a good base. It hadn't separated or nothing.
Well,
that's the guy said, no, it's even me. He cut it down, you know, like Maxie did over there, and overhauled it, put another front seal.
Oh, and you're living in it now?
Yes, ma'am. I live in the back room on the other side of this
mm-hmm.
one. You have two rooms in the kitchen. That's the only two I bother with. I don't, that's really my solar heat. I don't mess with a big chair. I got four of them easy chairs like he's got in there.
Oh,
there's four of them. There's six rockers in that big room.
Mm-hmm.
Six rocking chairs.
Hello.
And the three of them just like yours. You know, it costs $100-some-odd a piece. I don't know what you pay for yours. You buy your and you?
Yeah.
I think I'll run from 69 to $100-some-odd.
Oh, yeah.
I think the last one that bought the newest is $100-some-odd. But I don't use them too much. But I stay in the kitchen here. That's where the table is. Got the papers and
hats.
Got a couple of hats.
Yeah.
Well, doctor the back on one end. And he said, why don't you move that back? I said, that's my back. And I said, nobody come in and using any of it. Do I'll give them a block of it. You know, by the wholesale.
Yeah.
I said, they won't, if they're out, I'll give them a block. It's sitting there handing them, you too. He said, well, you could keep that somewhere in a drawer somewhere in the house. I said, well, it wouldn't be handy to get to.
That's
my guy over there. Guy, he wants things to handle when you get to it.
One of the joys of having been
where,
your
where
boss.
Is that, David? Where is
that?
The
back is on the table inside him, in the kitchen him. See, the two doors him.
In your dining room?
In the dining room where the old big round table is.
Yeah.
The back is on one end there.
Oh, it is.
In the hats and the papers, magazines, and Willie give me those old crazy magazines. He likes to read them. You might bring them home.
Okay.
That old alligator. I believe the name of it, put out at the university.
Well, you
you've heard of the alligator?
You can keep that.
And they got another one called Midnight.
You can keep that too.
You heard of them? You like to read? Look at them things?
I get enough university without reading about it.
But Willie, know it. He and Area, they get it and they turn it over to me.
Is that right?
Yeah. But it's a lot of that election business and all that. The coons, you know, got in there and that old darky. And Willie tell me about that girl, you know, I thought she the darky. You know, when it got beat, but she the white girl. He said, no. I said, well, she looked like she was, you know, about to eat that colored man up, you know, one of Sonny Taylor or something or other. You probably heard about the incident on the radio and other words, they gave it news. But he said, yeah, that beats all. So she could have, you know, ate him up whole. That white girl. But she conceded to him, you know, and then she got that long hair too. But the essence of they, you know, running this all this outfit is something else. And the other part, that midnight business, it's about this visitation program. It's a weird outfit. It's hard to believe. Well, you know, decent acting people, why, they wouldn't think of a soul. What's going on? But it's a fact.
Now look at your house there. That's.
But it's all right. That's a good picture. That boy made a good picture of it.
Isn't that beautiful?
It is. He made a good picture.
That's beautiful.
It did.
Gee whiz.
But from here back,
that's
I'm gonna put that separate. It was built later, and it's good. It's good. You know where that the foundation and the whole works is good.
Yeah. Well, that's
now,
built later.
You know, do like you did here. You know, put some of this. That's wallpaper. What is it here? Is that a board or paper?
This stuff here.
Yeah.
This is old-fashioned paper.
Yeah.
I just stripped it to keep it from you know.
Well, protection. You do mine. It got the ceiling underneath it, but you strip it without either put this paneling on top of it. See.
Sure.
And it'd be in pretty nice shape because it's a foundation, everything is really good.
Yeah.
But I said, no, I'm going to roll it out and I'm going to start, you know, right to the right of the front part of the house and build me a two bedroom, double garage and have a washroom right next to it. I got the wash tub now in the pump house there, you know, the Rangatite wash machine. But I'm gonna have it made in like Isaac got now in the back utility room on the back of the double. He got a two-car garage, Isaac Nixon. Then down in the end of the hall, I'm gonna have a heating and air conditioning unit, central air heat. That's when all he doesn't put it in. But a two-bedroom, I figure, you know, when I build a thing for about $7,000 or $8,000.
Would that help?
with some help, a little help.
If you get yourself a block house, you'll have to keep it picked up.
Yeah.
Well.
And not worth it.
Well, that's
well, what you're going to do with this.
You know what this one here?
If
you go, you ask Max or something. Of course, he might not tell you nothing. You know how he is. He's an odd character anyhow. But he'll tell you right quick. I bet you put it. He got $7,000-$8,000 in here. That's an old home, you know.
Oh, yeah. Easy.
It was a two-story, and he cut the top story off, you know, and left it down. That's what, you know, somebody said I could do with this here.
Yeah.
That roof in there, it's old. It's been there, you know, now for all these years. It's been painted, you know, two or three times. And it got a couple of leaks, in other words. But I know where the leaks are, and I've got a couple of dishpan, in other words, that, you know, catch the water, you know, and keep them running.
Sure.
The floor or the rug got one of these, you know, nice rug inside the front room now.
Sure.
You know, I made that rug cost, you know, $60, $100.
Yeah.
But keep running, you know, water on it. Well, I've got two pans there, you know, keep raining on it, and that's only two leaks in it.
Yeah.
But you go to messing around with the foundation here and putting new steel on it, straighten it up, the wall, the stud, and it done drop down, and you take off this roof and go to buy a new roof. That boy, I just said it cost him $1,000 just to put the roof on here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this boy, you know, living in a home place.
Yeah.
He's it's pretty fair house, just like yours. That GP, you know, where the camphor tree is in now. You might have noticed that new roof. Well, his roof is like mine. And I said, I'm not letting the man paint it, but he let the man paint his barn, same one that painted mine. The big shed where we got the boards and also the big barn where we got the hay and the two sheds on each side. But I said I wasn't going to pay him no $90 to paint the house.
I'll tell you, I never heard of that. That's new. That'd be worth looking into.
But
now, is that just for tin roof?
Yeah. You can't have it on anything
else. He sprays it on there.
He sprays it on there.
And it's asphalt?
Asphalt's aluminum. Asphalt-based aluminum. It's something new and it's good.
Yeah.
Well, his boy daddy, you know, sprayed that house. Y'all know when, back in the 30s, I reckon, the 40s. And that's the same roof that come on the house. It never had been a new one on it.
Well, I'm a damned.
And it's got two little leaks on the front part of the house and the body part here, you know, in the big living room where them big chairs are.
Yeah.
And the leaks are right close to the one of these folding beds.
Yeah.
You know, you can use it for a sofa, or you can fold it out and you know, two people sleep on it.
Yeah.
The same as extra bed. It's not one of them layaway. You know, some of them fold up and go in the wall. That's where my sister-in-law had one down there in Tampa.
Yeah.
That you fold it up and it goes into the wall. But this here is just a regular one. And right next to it is two leaks about 8 foot apart. That's the only leaks that's in the house. In the whole house. That roof has been on there all that length of time.
That's remarkable. That's hard to believe.
And GP is the same way he had here, the daddy did when he lived in, over that's where the camphor tree is. But his boy, you know, after married, well, then they decided to put a new roof on it. So we got the Morgan boys to come and put the roof on there.
Yeah.
And the Morgan boys, well, one of them got tied up, and he got one of the Gill boys. You know, the Gill color boy. Of course, they're good weapon.
Yeah. You know, they've left the Smith brothers.
Yeah, that's what to say. Got one of them to help them.
And they're off on their own.
Good well, they can find
Lord.
Plenty to do.
Good Lord. Ain't that something?
Yeah.
They have.
Well, the idea is that Smith, he didn't want to pay anything, you see. And I bought a caper and I was doing and be demanding more money, even if they had to join the union. You can't blame them. They got another age. Vice government, he's yelling older than I am.
He couldn't keep them fellas without paying them, could he?
No. That's the rubble. Now, what he didn't keep because he wasn't paying them.
Is that right?
Finally got $3 an hour. Well, you know what that kind of men now get down at that game, Bill. You know what they get. Well, I just a flunk out there and started me off $4 an hour out there, and I was up there 8 hours a day, $32 a day. And some of them fellas know it gets more than that. And them boys who got next to me, some of them getting $6 a day.
Yeah.
In other words, and them Smith boys, why they getting the money, in other words. Caesar Jr.'s wife was paying, in other words. He built him a new home. He's spending about $15,000 on that old home here. Been better to him to start it and tore it all out of the way and went on and built one.
Yeah.
That's what I said here.
Yeah.
I'm telling you the truth, in other words. You might not believe it, but you ask Max sometime how much money he got into repairing it and see what he'll tell you. He won't ever tell nobody, don't imagine. But I know it cost him some money.
Well, what are you going to do with the back end of that?
I'm going to lay it down on a pole, and my tractor won't do it. I'm going to get another tractor and two tractors to pull it on skids.
And do what with it?
Put it out there in the lot and use it for a hay barn. It's got a...
Use it for a hay barn?
You know, it's got a 9-foot ceiling on it.
All that kitchen and good room there for a hay barn?
Yeah, make a good one. It's got a 9-foot ceiling.
Well, you could make a hay barn with less trouble.
No, you couldn't. You can't build one. You can't build anything now for less than $500-$700. And you can't get too much out of that. The colored man wants to bid on the house. And I said, well, I'll let you have it. I said, I may use these doors, you know, like your door there. So better than what you can buy now. You can buy these old warp doors, you know, made out of this old plywood and worth 3 cents.
All that good back in there.
And
just
I said, I got 4, 5, or 6 doors.
Why,
I'm going to keep it.
Lord heaven, I'd love to live in that.
I said, that's where I've been living, in this back part here, kitchen. That's a good place to stay.
I just hate to see that house torn down, Henry.
Yeah, that's what they said, the children. They
said, you
they take them pictures, and they didn't know, you know, where they're going to turn up to, but this is real good. Reckon you ever want this thing? Can I have it, children?
Well, I give it to you, but it's the only one I got. I may never get any more. Yeah, that's the thing about a photographer.
Yeah.
They'll just come and just snap all sorts of things, but
well, I know where it is. You're not going to let nobody else have it, are you?
No, I just
give
it to
you. You take it over there.
I think, you know, the thing, if I don't get one, why, they supposed to take some, you know, and they did take some pictures when they're out there when they had the last reunion. I was asking the other day, it says, I can't remember that oak tree there falling. I said, you haven't been here but once or twice, and you didn't, you know, went on up there to Ernest's.
Yeah.
And they pulled in that Sunday morning, and, I think they're getting the truck and go to church.
Yeah.
And he saw them, he called them on the phone, they went over and had one of those $1.50, I believe. But they give you all the catfish in the world you can think about eating. And a good meal, too, you know, across the creek.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've been over there or not. I've been over there a time or two.
No, I know.
Carried, my sister-in-law carried my brother from Jacksonville over there. But this boy, he came up, and both of them, the older boy came, too.
Yeah.
And they spent the weekend. And they told, they had the little cabin they got over there. It wasn't too big, but they carried some blankets and a pillow.
Never tell you.
And the house was big enough, you know, to sleep on the floor, you know, just
okay.
This stuff,
he sprays that roof in, that's new.
Yeah, it's only been out about 3 or 4 or 5 years. It's not like what my daddy is. Now, it was aluminum paint, but it wasn't the kind, you know, to counteract that acid, call it? It makes that rust.
But it's still acid all that time.
Yeah, and it's still good. As I say, a metal roof is, if I build a house, I'm not using none of this stuff like you got on yours and like all these new people use. Ed Whitman, well, he done had to recover here. It ain't me or none of them covered up. I just said, I got to repair mine, and it hadn't been there 5 years. Smith brother built here.
Yeah.
Isaac, he got to repair here.
Yeah.
That's 3-in-1 shingle. You know what I mean?
Yes.
With a paper underneath it.
Yes.
And I said, you're going to sheet the thing anyhow. And I said, to do it, they say the roof is sweat. I said, well, put the paper underneath it. It'll take care of the moisture until it, you know, dries out. Put the paper under it. But I said, far as I'm concerned, you're going to have a seal, you'll go ahead and use it like you do a barn. Just put your doggone sheeting, you know, 1x6 sheeting, and pop the nails in other words. And put it into a good lumber. Don't put it in the softwood, put it in cypress or some pine, hard pine, where that nail is staying there. They got the new kind of nail. I bought some the other day.
Yeah. Now, you're talking about this roll.
Paper, yeah, that's abused underneath this roof here.
Yeah.
You can use that with a regular old knotted plywood, you know, for a base, and put tin on top of it. That's what they got on yours. They may got regular boards probably on yours, old type.
Yeah.
But now they're using a full bait plywood, number 2 grade, see?
Yeah.
That's what I helped Smith and them build that $70,000 home in Williston.
Yeah.
And
well, what you gonna do with you? How are you gonna do
it? I'm gonna use a regular 6-inch
sheeting.
Cypress sheeting. And I'm going to see it. You ain't going to hear the rain. Well, I used to like to hear the rain, you know.
I do, too. What are you going to seal it with? That felt?
Yeah. Central air and heating, I'm going to use this rolled, you know, rock wool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I cut down the sound. I says, and you know, if it sweats, it ain't going to hurt nothing. Not a hurt thing in the world. And I says, the galvanized is cheaper than this other one. It'll last longer.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And then if anything happens with galvanized, you'd either change.
But they tell you on this stuff, it guaranteed 15 to 20 years.
Yeah.
But when it get to it, now what, who's going to pay for refixing? Ain't Mayor pay for her.
Yeah.
Area had to pay for his.
That's right.
Like you tell me about them bug men back to see him the other day. You done give them $300, and I said, well, they want another $100 or $200. Well, that's what they said.
Yeah.
They put the whole tent on everything, going to kill every bug or roach or old fly, anything in the world you had, you see.
You know Jack Heron?
Oh, yeah.
He got about wore out.
Yeah, he done drank so much beer and liquor until he was.
But let me tell you what I did. I run across him over at Mac Weaver's.
Mm-hmm. Drinking beer.
Yes, him and his wife.
Yeah.
They didn't come by. They come by there to give Mac a message about a friend of theirs. Well, I like Jack, but Jack, he hadn't been for a year or two. He hadn't been able to talk to anybody. He might try to talk a little bit, and then he sort of loses his wind, keeps on. This time he stopped. He talked. Now, I won't give the whole thing, but it was rich. It was rich what he said. And it now I think what he did now, he jumped back 20 or 30 years, and he saw that country back there with them eyes. He had that dog, and it would run. You go out, he says, and take a sack, and it would hunt possums. If it seen you take a shotgun, it'd hunt squirrels. Now he went on like that, and that country over there. I said, I was over in that country the other day over that Maxi Mixon's. He got some country. He says you can't believe a word he says. He says everything he says, you've got to take a whole box of salt with it.
Mm-hmm.
He says, and then he told about a dog he took over there, you
mm-hmm.
see. And it was all that fine old stuff, you see.
Mm-hmm.
They're buddies or something.
Yeah.
I don't know what they were. And he says, I tell you who included with it. He says it's several just the same way you have to. Anything they
take
say, you take a box of salt. And he included old Lawrence Leitner.
Yeah.
And that's the first time I'd heard anybody talk lighthearted about Lawrence, you see. And I think he said GP, but I wouldn't
mm-hmm.
swear to it. But Maxie was the chief one.
Yeah.
Maxie was the chief one. Now, was Maxie a big operator?
Yeah.
And he run dogs?
Yeah, he went with, sure. But GP never did run no dogs.
No. Well, maybe he didn't mean GP.
But
Maxie had dogs.
No, he kept a few dogs. He still got two or three dogs.
Yeah.
But Maxie, they run hogs. All them, they crazy about hunting. All of them mix them.
All
Charlie and Wolver and all of Maxie's brothers and half-brothers and all, they all crazy about hunting.
Yeah.
Yeah, and time comes that they'd hurry, try to hurry to get the crops in shape to leave when they go to the woods, you know, camp.
Yeah.
And heck with it, if wife don't want to go, let her stay home by herself.
Oh, they just going out there and camp.
Oh yeah. Let them, if they don't want to go with them, I let them stay home.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why they come to Maxie, Carrie and Ivan May, I remember when they married and when I made young, Carrie and Ivan May went with us down yonder to the Silver Glen. We hunted the National Forest.
Oh, she went down.
She went too. Yeah, she went. And they had a tent and over and stayed in it. And all we boys, we ran the house, you know, and about 8 or 10 of us stayed in one of them cottages.
Yeah.
And I carried the old colored boy out there, you know, to caught, you know, making a moonshine liquor.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to get out. He says, I'm too old. And says, mine is $500. I said, let J.C. here's $150 because he's just carrying the water. J.C. didn't want him crying. His daddy came and told me to pay him out. I said, I'll get you out in the morning. But he didn't want to spend the night. He wanted to get out that night, see. But you got, you know how it is. You got to go through a lot of rigmarole, you know, and mess around with anybody. And particularly then, you know, nigger would look down on me. Now and then, why, they would do something for a nigger cooking with a white person.
Oh, yes.
But then it was different,
yes,
see.
Yes, it was different.
So I said, I'll get you out in the morning. Well, he had to have some cigarettes. I said, I'll get you some cigarettes and bring them by there to you. Well, I got him 2 packs, you know, of course. Soon they gave him to the jail, you know, why, a bunch of bums in there, you know, they didn't last an hour, so he was out.
Yeah.
And I told him to get a night's sleep, you know, and I'd get him out in the morning.
Yeah.
And I left, see, I wasn't going to get some more cigarettes, you know, them bums in there to beat him out, but he's just that tight. So I went down the next morning and paid him out $150, and
But
we stayed to that.
But y'all hunted? Stayed down there a week?
Yeah,
week.
We stayed down there. We stayed down there 10 or 12 days.
Yes.
And
now,
Dr. Caddy's pickup and our tent, and he and Iva May, they slept in the tent. Well, Jim, you know, Jim was the boy then. He went. That's when his boy,
yeah,
you know, was
a
young fella.
Yeah.
And he stayed with him. And they always called me Doc. And I stayed with him over, you know, a night or so with Jimmy, see?
Yeah.
And I and me, you know, would cook, you know, and fix stuff, you know, inside the tent and stuff. And I stayed a night or two with him, but I stayed over with them. And Avery and I, we slept together. And that's when that doctor was cooking for us and looking out for keeping people stealing our stuff. Old Jim, he used to be a cook on a boat. And that's where they put him in the kitchen down there for making that liquor. And he got fatted a fool and didn't want to get out when his time was out. He had it made. That's right. That's the way it is now. They treat him better than to get out painted outside. But
yeah.
J.C. wanted to get out, and he worked with him until he paid it back.
Yeah.
I think he paid back $5. Seemed like $5 a month, I believe it was.
Because
then, you know, it wasn't making about 50 or 60 cents a day.
Yeah.
75, I think, something like that. I don't know what it was. But now then, you know, make more than that per hour. But then, you know, that much a day.
Yeah.
But $5, I believe, a month, you know, a lot of money back then. But he paid it back, every bit of it.
Yeah.
Then he worked with Ernest for a while. And then he finally, you know, got down there with Huff. And he'd been with Huff and Joe Lee out there for years and years.
Yeah.
But he lost his license. He had a car and driving while intoxicated. And so they're taking his license and grounding him. But somebody said he thought he still drove one of them, a Jeep or that truck or Huff once in a while.
Yeah.
I don't know. But he may do it, you know, off the main road out there on the farm. But when they got him, while he was driving on the main road on a weekend or something, you know, drinking, see.
Yeah.
He's buying chicken, you know. He never had mad for his girlfriend, in other words. And she was getting it drunk and getting all of his money. So you know how to work that.
Yeah.
But
Max,
in other words, while we'd hunt, and they had the dogs, you know, and two or three had several dogs in our party, and certain people don't handle the dogs.
Yeah.
And they came out there and turned them loose on Jar Hill. That Jar Hill, I'll never forget it. And they come off that Jar Hill, they run them in the Lake Delancey. And that's where I said, I want to be there when he come to get that water. After the dog gets after him, get him hot, and he's going to come to that water, I want to kill him when he starts going in the water. But it's against the law to kill one in the water, in other words, the deer.
Yeah.
So down there, and Uncle Ernest around that fella, and I heard him click, shoot, you know, bam, bam, like that. Didn't hear anything, and waited, you know, before I get, you know, back to my truck to go and see it. About a mile around the, you know, big place. Get the truck, go around and see who'd kill one, whether one of our party or somebody else. Well, I heard another shot, and I said, wonder what that is. Come to find out why he wounded the doggone thing, and he's about to kill him with his antlers, and he blowed him, shot him, you know, up close. Of course, a deer cut you to pieces with his horns or his hoofs, either one. He'll eat you up. Same as a tiger. And after reading his shot the other time to finish him off, he just blew his whole goose and all, shot him underneath the hand, just cut his windpipe and all off that last shot. He knew he wouldn't breathe no more when he done that up, you know, close him in that cabinet over there. And he had a nice buck, Uncle Ernest did. So we carried him to camp, you know, and skinned him, you know, and had some good liver, you know, and some of them wanted to roast some on coals, you know, like they used to do in the hog killing. And I said, no, it's private stuff. Let Jimmy cook it with onions. That'll take some of that wild taste out.
Yeah.
So Jimmy, he cut up some onion, you know, and steamed it and smothered it, you know, and poured water on it. And it's pretty good eat.
Yeah.
And had rice, I think. Cooked rice to go
well,
with it. But Max is right there with us. But the others, Charlie and them, they go and have their own camp, in other words. But they went on a river road around now.
Yeah.
But
we
stayed at Silver Glen, cabin, and we didn't use
that
camp stuff.
That's when Max's boy was
just
growing up.
When he was just a, you know, teenage boy, a good big boy.
At that time, there's plenty of land right in there with deer and everything.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't have to go down to that place.
Well, I was getting a little timber over here in the 40s, and I had plenty of deer this side of the river on you to kill them. In other words, every time I go over and get a little poke for Thrasher or some of the neighbors, that man say, come on, we'll go down and kill one tonight, right down in the corner, pea patch. Come on. I said, no. I said, against the law, they put me under jail. I said, well, when you come back next time, I'll have you some in the freezer. So next time, he'd have a damn front quarter, and I wouldn't put it behind the seat on that old 1940 39 or 44 truck. and I'd come on out of there. It'd be frozen, though, wouldn't it? It'd be all right, you know, when I got home, put it in the refrigerator. They'd throw out some more and cut it up and make stew meat out of it or something, in other words. There wasn't no steaks much on the front court, but they kept plenty of venison. I'm bored over there this side of the river.
Uh-huh.
But a lot of people hunted away on this side of the river.
Uh-huh.
But we went inside, in other words, and hunted, and we'd next to that lake, and that's where they'd head there, either the river. But though to get the river, they'd come across the river, and that's when they'd hunt get on this side of the river, and some of them have better luck on this side than would on the other side.
Uh-huh.
But down at Jarhead, in other words, is when they'd go out there and make a drive on that ridge and say, well, we got to have some meat for the camp. Kill a little spike. If he's not a spike, let it be a butthead, a young one. Not let it be an old doe, you know what I mean? They ain't 15. And we didn't know. First thing to none, they gunned it, and the game warden had supper with us the next night and ate some of that deer,
yeah.
That doe. But that's the reason I broke up with them. There were too many drunks in there, and they played poker and drank whiskey and talked all night, and you couldn't rest in at night. And I said, I'm getting out, and I just quit the whole deal.
But that's recent.
No, that's been 15 years ago. I ain't said I've been
out. That much?
Yeah, I killed that last deer. I quit 2 years after I killed that deer, and that was in 50.
57, your daddy died.
Well, I believe it. I killed that deer in 54, 55.
Yeah.
Before he died. I killed him about 54, 55.
Yeah.
And I quit, you know, by the time Papa died, 56, 57, I quit going all together. So that's been a good while ago.
Yeah.
You know, left the camp and all of them. You know, that's when they wanted to get to drinking. And my job was cleaning up behind them in the kitchen, you know, cleaning up the mess and cooking.
Yeah.
My job down in Max and them. I went over to stay with Jim and them because I had the doctor. He could, you know, do the washing the dishes and cleaning up.
Yeah.
That's what I had him for, to keep the people from stealing stuff. And we paying him, you know.
Yeah.
We camping, in other words. We had a pot, in other words, and we bought the grocers and we split it, in other words. Then we said, when they got through, whoever wanted it, why, just take the value of it, in other words. Then if there's any left, why, then we get it, in other words, back, you see, from the treasure.
Yeah. Well, now, where were they playing poker and cussing?
I was over here at Guff Hammer when they're doing all that. That's where I killed the last deer that I killed.
Well, now, is that same crowd?
Some of the same one, yeah. Mm-hmm. Some of the same ones over here.
Yeah.
But it wasn't many, it was over yonder, wasn't it? Well, here in one little city, I reckon there about the only two it was over yonder, it was still over here.
Yeah.
And then Maxie.
Maxie never played poker.
No. No, he didn't play no poker.
He didn't cuss much.
No, but it's Culpepper, one of them.
Well.
And J.K. Harrison. You didn't know him, did you? But J.K., he played a poker, but he didn't cuss. Seemed to be a pretty good solid fella.
But what? Now, you see, old Jack Harry, you see, it's just a flash.
He said, take
him. It's just a flash, you see, and then his mind left him.
Yeah. Bucked us all.
But there for a flash, it seemed like he could just bring that up again, and he said he let Maxie have that dog of his. Max had borrowed it, and he said he'd had it 2 or 3 years, and he brought it back, and he says, just go on and keep it. And he says he was over there one day, and Max went in there to feed his hogs, and that dog followed him, and that big old boar hog came up to Maxie and was just, you know how a boar hog will grunt, and I don't know what you call it, you know, when they had just come up and begging for something to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And that dog didn't know what it was, and he lit in on that boar hog, and Maxie said to Jack, he says, I didn't know he'd do that.
Didn't know he'd do that, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
So that dog, what Jack was saying was, that dog would do anything you asked him to do.
That's the way they had a lot of them trained back in that day. I know a fella out there that you said, just like Jack said, he'd actually do it. You get your gun, and he know you're going squirrel hunting.
Yeah.
He let you know where the squirrel, what tree you're in.
You get a sack, and he knows you're
going
to do something else.
Going possum hunting. Get a sack, going to the cemetery, you know, get some possums out. And he'd carry it and tree them, you know, run them up to the cemetery when he'd eat the cinnamon and arrive, see?
Yeah.
And you put the box on the car, you know, like old man Rush, in other words, you know, you're going, you know, after Fox.
Yes.
Fox a wildcat, they run them. Old Carl Norman, they had some, you know, do the same thing.
Uh-huh.
They know when you're going fox and wildcat hunting.
And they'll shift. I didn't know dogs would do that. Yeah. I didn't know they'd
do that. We run them for about 5 or 6 hours one night back there. We run one of those damn mounted cats, what you call those? Pumas. Panther.
Oh,
really? Puma or panther.
Pumas.
Yeah, I'm low-legged thing.
Yeah.
And I think about to get us scared.
Yeah.
We back here on that big hammer.
Yeah.
And we knew anything, of course, and they got a hold of it. We done had a sack full of coons, and we couldn't carry them, and we left them over on the next to that Johnson Lake Road.
Yeah.
And decided we'd come on back. We had to come back, you know, to get somewhere to go there and get them.
Yeah.
The coons, some of them weigh 25 pounds apiece. You know what heavy coons are.
Yeah.
Back in those days, the coons are big as dogs are. You know how the big-sized dog, you know, well, you wouldn't tow him very far before you get tired.
Yeah.
And threw them wood, too, while we left them over, you know, where we knew, and we gonna come all the way back too, Little Rockin' and Big Rockin', Little Rockin', come on out Plantation, come on top of the hill over there.
Yeah.
And we'd have, that's where we had the truck, see?
Yeah.
And then we're going around and get the coons, in other words. But we got back there next to one of Rocky Pond, I don't know where, Big Rock or Little Rock, and it hit this trail.
Yeah.
And it was one of those Primus thing. Because that devil thing was like a darn bear or something.
Oh, yeah.
It got pretty close to us at one time. We got pretty close to it. But what he was doing, he'd go a tree, and we'd get up and put it close with him. I'm Aladdin, gas lantern, you know what I mean, with two ladles on it, you know, two burners. And he'd jump out.
Oh.
And they must have been pretty mild. Sometimes he'd rip a dog, you know, and make him howl and raise the devil.
Yeah.
We knew it wasn't, you know, regular darn cat or something, though. Of course, three or four of them hounds we had. Carl had some would tear up something, though.
Yeah.
Carl had about three dogs that were really out of this world.
Yeah.
Had one old blue, and he had to be plenty darn good. He's the only darn dog I ever seen by himself could whip a coon by himself. You've heard people, one dog can't whip a coon.
Yeah.
But old blue was the only one that I ever known couldn't whip a coon by himself.
Yeah.
But we got kind of scared, and that thing, you know, got pretty close to us on the next Tupagum Pond.
Yeah.
And that thing come down a tree, and he put it close and made some racket. And, well, you couldn't outrun him, though. We didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
And he done knocked the shit out of two or three of them dogs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You don't want to go blind or just let it all fly at one time. You heard that old saying. Don't call now to tell you the same thing. Johnny Nixon, he was calling myself. He's in the bunch.
Yeah.
And I don't know where Isaac was with us now. About four or five of us with them outfit. But those dogs, you know, what Carl had, why, you put them on, you know, a deer trail, he's on a deer. And you know, go out hunting by any run the coons, and they'd come across when he done puma or wildcat or somebody, they'd take after him.
Mm-hmm.
But in the daytime, you get your gun, as Jack said, in other words, why, I had a little Fife, Fox Terrier and Fife Cross.
Yeah.
A little dog I called Lady.
Yeah.
And I had the convict camp there next to me then, you know, where they kept the horses, you know, for county road working.
Oh.
That years ago, and I had this little dog, and they fell in love with this little dog, and some of them stole that little dog.
Ah.
Well, it was all right. I had a couple of puppies off of her coming along. But that little dog, in other words, and I'd get my shotgun in the afternoon, about 2 to 3 o'clock, and go out squirrel hunting. My dog let me know, you know, see him up there. They'd be sitting up eating on the hickory or white oak acorn.
Yeah.
And I'd kill him and mess squirrel in a little while.
Yeah.
Because he came in the tree, you know, where they were.
Yeah.
I'd save him sitting down waiting, you know, half hour, and used to, you know, recently, you got to have patience to sit down and wait on them. But used to, you know, go out most any time, kill them, that squirrel, without a dog or with one or whatnot. But what I used, that little dog was to carry them in the piney wood for little fox squirrels. So you get one of them, you got some meat. And you boil that booger down, you pressure cooking, and throw some homemade butter. I'm not talking about margarine, you know, like you use nowadays. Homemade butter in there, and about 3 cups of rice in that squirrel in a big pot. And you had something good to eat.
I never eat them.
That's good to eat. Yeah, that's kind of. Pressure cooked that booger, in other words, get him done.
They are slow. Couldn't miss them.
It's fine, in other words. You got to walk, you know, a lot of distance. That little dog would help you locate him, you know, and let you know what pine tree you're in. He trailed.
Yeah.
See, sometimes you see him, you know, in the woods, you know, they get out and see a tail, he's going across the wood like a deer.
Mm-hmm.
And that dog would trail him and get into a tree. That dinner was out of this world. I surely enjoyed it.
Eric,
you went to a little extra trouble.
I think she did too, Eric. I think she must have been celebrating. Yes, Since what were you celebrating, Brad?
Any anniversary or anything?
No, just have it coming.
You don't have to give it to me now. You can wait until you get the rest of it, unless you want to get it off your hands. I got half of it, yeah.
Let me tell you. You know, the worst thing about people trading, you see, if you go to the store, you pay for it.
Yeah.
But if you trade around amongst your neighbors, you see, you won't pay for it. And you just keep holding it up, holding up. So I just soon keep a thing and sell it to most people, you know, because I know.
Well, I've been the same way, you know.
I'm not going to get the money.
People have things, they just, you know, put it off and finally keep on, and you come to think about it, well, don't believe they'll pay me for so-and-so.
I sold 25 or 30 cows here one time to a fella I knew pretty well, and he had all loaded up. You see, that's the hell of it. You don't want to load them up and then start transacting business.
No,
You don't transact business first.
Well, you load them up.
And he said to him, well, I'm all loaded up. I'll just wait till tomorrow to pay you. I said, the hell you will.
That's what you told him.
Yes.
Well, what the matter? He didn't have his checkbook, or he wanted to put it off a few months?
Just the same thing like that. Yeah. You see? He just let it dangle.
Yeah, dangle.
Well, I didn't want to let 25 cows dangle.
No.
I might not see him in another month. Yeah. Lord help us. I never did believe. I tell you what, I never owed people.
It used to be. A man worries as good as bond, but it didn't take me too long to find out. You know, I didn't work too good, and I come back from a deal over in Hastings, working in the mashed potatoes. The boy started, he cut out on his acre a little bit, and I guess he'll be able to handle it. I got him started last year, you know, worked over last year. But he's already started digging.
Yeah.
But I think maybe he'll do all right, but he got to learn sometime, though. He's out of school, and he knows what the deal is. I didn't go well, but I've been wanting to go over and see how he was getting along or something, like, though I would be willing to help him.
Let me tell you, Eric. You know, old Buzz, you know the colored man out there we talked about?
Yeah.
Old Buzz?
Yeah, he used to work for me.
Yeah.
He worked for me up there on the Skanacki Hall Ranch.
Oh, I didn't know he worked for you.
Yeah, he worked. We worked with Canapa Hall, but he was under me. He was under my jurisdiction. I was a superintendent of the job.
Yeah,
he's a pretty good worker, but he's, I don't know Edward, and I'm ruining him. He got a little smart.
Well,
he's a pretty fair darky, but.
Let me tell you, Everett, I tell you what I found, and you worked with a lot more of them than I have. You see, they just can't learn fast.
No.
And you can't teach them much.
No.
And there's no two ways about it now. You see, they were brought up like that from the very start. So, actually, you see, when they start popping off, they don't have much to say.
No.
And that's a shame. Because you expect, well...
But he came up, and he's pretty good. I said, now, if you'd have marked those colts, why, they wouldn't have died, see? You ain't tore it out yet, have you?
I tore most of it.
That's on the citizen that's up in Gainesville.
Yeah.
I used to do business with them for years and years.
Yeah.
Mrs. Evans. You know Mrs. Evans? I believe that's her name. Evans? Yeah. on the left you go in?
Yeah.
She was a friend.
Now there's another one. This is the...
But Buzz, now what about he learned, you know, how to, you know, mark pigs and mark horses.
Yeah.
And a pretty good worker, and knew how to do a little carpenter work, and knew how to do a little fence building, and he's a pretty good hand.
That's an extra good hand.
Yeah, that's what I say. You know, knew that you had somebody knew something, but you had to be watching them all the time.
Yeah.
But then, he got a little bit, you know, kind of up there or something. Act like, you know, he wanted more money than what most of them would get, see?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I said, well, I says, ain't nobody else getting that. I says, this is key, $1.60 an hour. Now, I says, the head man that's kind of keeping the men going, why, they're paying him $1.75. But I said, you can't expect to go in and get, you know, what they're paying the head man they got, in other words. For the simple reason, I'm other boy, that's, some of them making $1.40 and some of them making $1.60. But he'll pay you $1.60. That's still, you know, 20 cents more hour than what, you know, Carnes is getting. And Carnes has been up here, you know, for 25 or 30 years. He worked for Cedar Junior Daddy. And I said, now you want to go in and get $20 more than he did, and that's not enough. But as I say, he's pretty fair hand, but that's the only objection I have to him. He's a little bit on the smart side.
Yeah.
And he's, I don't know, he's always had women on his mind, too, you know, like most doctors.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's got them on his mind, too. But he's a pretty good worker, and I got along pretty good with him. But when you need him, what you had, you going to have to do something for you, or what?
No, I run into him up there and talk to him for half an hour.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, he's
I thought you got him to mark your bull calves or something.
No, I was going to get him to help me sometime, but hell, he's too far along. You see, he wouldn't help me.
But
he's too important.
Yeah, he's got the age on him. He's getting a pretty good check, you know.
Yeah.
And he got that nice car. He got from old Becker down. He worked with Becker and bought that an old man. He retired, you know.
Yeah.
He moved his trailer down there somewhere and married him a young woman, though, and turned it over to Adam.
Yeah.
So Becker's got him a young woman now.
Now, let me tell you, this, oh, has he?
Yeah. The old man, Becker Allen, daddy, he got him, married him a young woman. Yeah, this last time.
Oh, has he?
Yeah.
He died.
Yeah, his wife did. Allen's mother. So he wasn't mad, you know, him leaving out town with Allen, but they're in partnership with the cows, in other words.
Well, now,
then he went with the...
Bob Becker.
Oh, this is a different Becker.
Oh,
this is
excuse me.
This is one of the Wright brothers.
Oh, I see.
This Becker was Jail Wright. You've heard of the Wright. Remember doing Jail Wright. Big cow man. M.C. Wright. His daddy was up in the harbor. He died of a heart attack in Georgia.
I see.
But he turned it over to Allen, and he moved down here to South Florida somewhere and got him a trailer. And But before he left, old Bud bought that white Chrysler automobile. He got a white Chrysler.
Yeah.
But it's about a 60...
It lasts forever.
And that's a good car.
Lasts forever.
Yeah.
If you'll take care of it. Now, this colored fella, that's an old field hand, and he helps one of the Mrs. Zetrowers.
Yeah, he was there.
Helps Frankie every now and then.
Yeah.
Jesse?
Yeah.
Cox.
That's him.
Huh?
He's quite a car.
Now, is he at Brushline?
Yeah. He was there right there. You know what Jiffy Light in the Leah? Right across some roads, about a mile in them woods.
Yeah.
And he owned property back there.
Well, now, he's a good worker.
Yeah, he's slower, but he's a good worker.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I stopped there at old Kelly Pardee's one day. Kelly, Cecil wasn't there, but Mrs. Pardee was there, and she had them two hands back there, she did. And I walked back there. I just visiting is all. One of them was a woman, had on her white maid's clothes, and a little baby girl out there on a pallet. And old Jesse was there. And I was glad to see Jesse. And you know, he had on these balloon breeches and all, like we all used to wear. You know, I used to wear them. I never wore clothes when I was out in the field. And you know, he just chattered, just talked to Blue Streak. Just talk to Blue Streak. I don't know now. I couldn't tell
you. He's an interesting fellow. He's pretty well up to date. He ain't no dummy. But he's a good old boy. He always had been a good fellow.
He talk like it.
Yeah, he's a good boy.
He talk like it.
He's a little slow. He's aged now, of course. He's just already 65, 68 years old.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Well, he didn't look it.
But he gets some age on him. But he just works just a little part-time one thing. I get him once in a while, and I told him I want him again. I said, Jesse, I want you to cut the bushes. And I said, I'll pile them, and I'll pour in the stumps. You cut the bushes with a bush hook and an axe. You know, that's the way he did before. And then I poured them, you know, with the tank, you know, with this ortho, I believe, what kind I got. Either that or this other. Weed on or some kind of name of it. I believe mine's ortho, weed killer. And he said, all right, I'll let you know. He said, I'll help Mr. Albert two or three pieces of days. Then Frankie's had me helping a little bit. And GP's had me a little bit. I could go around GP's pasture fence, you know. And then he said, but I'll help you sometime. But he said he wasn't working regular no more.
Oh,
but he'll do a little piddling job. Maxie used to use him some.
Yeah.
Maxie done it when they cut his timber. And he thought they were going to move every sprig of top and everything in the field.
Yeah.
But he got fooled. It wasn't in the deal. That was George Pacific.
Oh.
But he said if he'd have gotten Coon Young, you know, that other Sugar Man Boyd, if he'd have gotten them, said they'd have, you know, moved the top part. But George Pacific said, no, that wasn't in the deal. But said, we got the machine out here. We'll bring the blade and we'll pile it on top, you know, for actual cost, since you don't feel like it was. That boy told me, and Max, in other words, he got kind of smart. He said, I finally told him that you're in my yard, and I appreciate if you go right out that concrete walk and the gate and not come back in there anymore.
Maxie?
That's what he told Maxie.
Oh, that's what he told
Maxie? He told Maxie, yeah. Maxie went to see him.
And he was a little bit too sharp.
Yeah, uh-huh. And he kind of put him in his place. Said, I hate it because he's old enough to be my daddy. That's what Freddie, I've been knowing Hale boy ever since the boy. He's a lot younger than I am. Hale isn't about 40 years old.
Well.
And he said, I just lost the temper. He said, I felt sorry about it. My wife got after me, he said, after I left. But he said that he just got on my nerves and him popping off like he was doing, in other words. And I told him that I wasn't in the deal, which it wasn't. And he had proof it wasn't. But then still Max and I wasn't wanting him to, you know, do all that free work. And he finally said, well, you're on my pocket, in other words. So you just, I appreciate it if you just go right out the gate here on the concrete walk like you come in and not come back on my place anymore.
Rub it down. Let me tell you, was Maxie always just a little bit dense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now you see these earphones in here. He can't hear thunder. He got that television over there. And you know what?
And he don't, that's the excuse of not coming to church with his wife. He can't hear the preacher. But I told him my daddy had one, and I offered it to Lois,
yeah.
You know, Max's sister.
Yeah.
But she had the money, though, and went on and got her one, you know, where you hear a little bit, see, when she's driving, now she's not driving.
Yeah.
But I had my daddy's, and it was one of those bell tones. They're supposed to be one of the best, you know, bell tone, you know, made, and I don't know, dad paid.
Well, you,
he paid, I reckon, $150 for it.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, I was over there at Everett's. I mean, I just stopped in and, you know, just joined with him a little bit. And, he's nervous. Oh, get out that day. And he had that little old jigger, you see.
Yeah.
Put on
little
to
little
hear
button.
This.
Yeah.
Well, that ain't enough.
No.
And I said to him, Maxie, I know a fella who can fix you up on that where you won't have any trouble here at all. He didn't even say hello.
There you are. Well, that's the old show, you know, he done forgot more than you ever know, and he's going to do it his way, and he's tight and stingy, and he don't want no ideas from you, or nobody else. That's the kind of fella, yeah, always been that way. You can't advise him. But what he said, it's all authentic. Authentic.
Oh.
It's the gospel truth, that old saying is, whenever you tell you anything, but you can't tell him anything.
Well, let me
if
tell you.
If you ain't been around him enough, you find it out.
He paid $195.
He told me about $200.
Yes.
And it's still not no satisfaction.
No, he took it back and got his money back.
Yeah.
And
well, if somebody like that, I said, well, if that's the way you feel about it, they're not hearing nothing.
That same day, he took me back there and showed me that little riding mower. He said his first one ever he ever had at work. But right behind it was that
tractor
yeah. With the rear end out of it.
Yeah.
And who did he get to work on that? Ellis.
Yeah, Watch, Ellis.
Huh?
Ellis Watch. Yeah, Ellis said, I got to work on it. And said he wants to trade it and get him a Cub. But he said, Maxie don't need no kind of tractor. That's what Ellis said.
He's too.
Said he don't need none, but he still wants to get, he wants to get a Cub.
Yeah.
A little smaller. But as Ellis said, his age and the way he's getting, he don't need any. He's liable to get hurt on one of them.
Yeah.
They're liable to do him like the old Dr. Evans up there making over, get on top of him and eat him up. See,
Ellis,
he would be in bad shape. But Ellis Watch, he's a good fella. He knows what's what, and what he tell you can kind of depend on it. But he tells Max, in other words, he's a mechanic.
Who is Ellis Watch?
He's a mechanic, he's a machinist and a mechanic too.
Where?
Diesel and machinist.
From? Williston?
No, he lives right out there in our neighborhood.
Where does he work?
He's not working. He's about half blind, and he's drawing the money from Craig Construction Company for the year. He's with them about 25 years, big construction company in Gainesville.
Yeah.
And he gets a little pension from them. And I believe he's about old enough to get a little Social Security now. I think he's already 62. He's older than I am. I'm 61. I think he's already.
What construction company?
Craig.
Yeah.
And he worked for Henderson Land Company one time. Henderson Land and Building Company or something. You heard of Henderson?
No.
Henderson, it's a big outfit. They millionaires.
Let me tell
and
you.
And that Craig Construction, they ain't no little outfit.
If Maxie's got a fella there that knows something about it and will tell him something, he ought listen to him. I wish I had somebody listen to him.
Well, that's what he's doing. But Ellis said, I got to get over that next on the program, in other words. And somebody said, well, he says, Bill Anderson, he says, you got to fix mine. He says, I just had it up there and they charged me about $40 for another starter, a generator. I'm like, well, for his aid. He got one like Max's. And he said, it's still, in other words, it knocks the battery out. It won't run. Got a coil on it. And Ellis said, well, maybe it's the Pluriat is wrong one. I said, no. He says, they checked that and said that was right. But there's something another wrong with it. And he says, I done been up there with them and gonna give them the money and it's not fixed. And he said, I want you to look at it. So finally, Bill, I met him one day, you know, and he's driving. He got the thing started and he's driving up there. Well, he said, I can't get Willie to look at nothing. He's too lazy to do anything. That's his neighbor, Willie Chitty. That's what Bill said about his neighbor. Willie's, you know, at the point where he don't...
He quit.
Knocked off, period. Because Mark said he wouldn't fix the light switch in, you know. You know, run a wire down the wall and put a light switch on it. Toggle switch on it. Want to do away with the old, pull chain. And he says it's all out, you know, where you can see it. It wasn't even sealed, you know, when you had the kitchen. You run the wire right down by the stud, see? You know what I mean? And he said, Willie said, yeah, I'll get to it. And kept on with it. And Willie says, no. But Chitty says, I don't mean to be rushing. He stopped and bull skating with us. We were working on that man's fence up there, you know, where your road goes out.
Yeah.
And this Mark Nicken, that same fella I was telling you about, he was working with us. He said, Mr. Chitty, I don't mean to tell you, but he said, who's watermelon now? And he said, they're mining Everett's. And Mark said, there's two of them over next to the tree is mine, see. That Eden boy, you know, gave them two nice watermelon, you know. There wasn't no curl, you know, like he can jack them for $1.25, $1.50. And Willie, you know, I think wanted one, you know. I don't know why he wanted to carry on up there and give some of the foreman a big shot that Eden went up the university or not. Ayer said he got one or two up there. I think that he's, you know, it, in other words. And that's the reason it says that he can get out, you know, not wait no Sunday works, days. And Ayer, he got to pull Sunday. Willie won't pull no Sunday. That was a deal. Well, he's a deacon, though, that's all right. But Dave says, I'm a steward, too, of the Methodist. But still, he's working on a Sunday.
Tell Faye how you put your Sunday in. I mean, your weekend, you see? Everett's weekend is busier than his week, Faye.
That's about right. And I told my brother, I'm fixing to get in and go to Sunday school. And that's when Ollie come up. He told my brother and them went over to have supper. I'm going to try to get by early enough. Well, it won't interfere with him going to church. And I fixed to come out and get in the sun, and they toot the horn. That Bonneville Pontiac blew the horn at me coming up the road.
Yeah.
And I looked. I didn't recognize who it was. I first thought it, you know, was Ernest's wife. Got a Buick, you know, and Buicks look kind of like a Pontiac. Yeah. Or something, a General Motors.
Now, what time was that?
That was about quarter of a 10.
Yeah.
And I was getting ready to go to Sunday school, you know, quarter to 10.
Yeah. So they didn't linger.
They you know, got talking about everything, about all that rigmarole, got that boy, you know, kin folks, you know, of Allie, Glenn's wife, you know, dying, her getting the property and selling the cow, you know, and getting a big chunk of money out of that and putting it in escrow. Now they ain't going to have several years to sell the estate, you know, but she's going to try to run the founder. Well, they talked about everything. And finally wound up by the house, and Leala said, won't you just tear the top off of that house and... They got all kind of board, this aluminum siding and this, that, you can put on that other board, in other words. Says, nobody can see, you know, by how fine. I said, yeah, it's like wearing these clothes, getting a tuxedo and $50 shoes and all, and nobody knows the difference. You heard that ad on the paper. I said, that'd be the same way about your house. Go ahead and put the siding on now.
Yeah.
I said, Tom, put it on that head, in other words.
Well, ordinarily, though, you got the whole morning, you see, at church.
Yeah, that's right. And get off while then some of the cousins or something, I'm kids want me to go home with them Sunday before last for dinner. That's Johnny's kids, you know, to eat dinner. When you go and eat dinner, visit them at 2 o'clock before you get back.
Yeah.
And time to mess around, maybe change the cow from one pasture to another. By any time, then it'll go back again to church, see?
Yeah.
So that just takes up the Sunday.
Yeah.
And Saturday is the time at the town day.
Yeah.
You got colored people. I usually like to go to town on Saturday.
Yeah.
I just go and buy a few groceries. I usually go to Plant Supplies. Now, last week, I was busy and I didn't have too much time, so I stopped at Publix.
Yeah.
On 34th Street.
Yeah.
And they had some specials on, in other words, and I said, well, I believe I'll stop there. A little nearer than Plant Supplies. It's about 4 miles on across town, you know. And you go 75 and get off, you know, at the first exit and turn to the left, and you go on in the Publix right on the right, and you park easy and get away from that easy. So I wasn't up there, I don't reckon Saturday. I left the house at 10 and I was back home before dinner time.
Yeah.
Then I come by the baker too and got me, wife got me one of that, I got me some bread.
It was Saturday I saw you.
Yeah.
We was...
Was that the baker or what was that?
No, at the house there.
Oh.
Didn't I see you at the house? I come by there sometime. Hell, I get all mixed up.
Yeah, that's when it was raining.
Yeah.
You had your...
Yeah.
That's when you had your buddy, Gamble buddy with you. I believe, and he and his wife.
Oh, the two of them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Man and his wife. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You know what they're looking for? Just like everybody else. They want to buy the countryside.
Yeah.
They don't need it.
No.
What do they need with 20 or 30, 40, 50 acres out there?
I play people off.
Well, let me tell you. But Saturday night you had to go out somewhere. Ocala?
Yeah, afternoon. I was going to Ida to see a cousin of his. Well, it's his sister's husband. He's had a partial stroke, and he's in bed, and it affected his speech a little bit and one leg.
Yeah.
And he can't move, and he got now where he, you know, he can't feed himself too well.
Yeah.
And he's awfully tender. He worked for the utilities, meter reader for 20-some-odd years, and retired.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and she's still working at the shirt factory.
Yeah.
She's making... I don't know where her job is, making the buttonholes or collar work. It's either collar work on these shirts at the shirt factory or either the buttonholes. And she's been there for a long while, that shirt factory there. And she started because her son is a superintendent of that big shirt company. He got a good job with them Jews.
But
I was going with Isaac, you know, before training union that afternoon. See?
Yeah.
And Isaac said we'd go, you know, 3 or 4 o'clock and did not stay with him too long because he's tender-hearted and, you know, be rough on him because he's... I don't know, sometimes he'll break up and cry, you know, and take on.
Sure.
Talking about, you know, things that happened way back, and he'd never be any good, you know, doing anything else. It's like pathetic, you know, to see people in the condition he's in. Of course, he couldn't help it, just one of them things. And,
And then you had to get back for training?
Yeah, I didn't have to get back training union.
Yeah.
But he kept me going to church.
That training union, I have never been in on anything like that.
Well, it's for... young people and also for adults. People used to think it more or less for a young one, but it's good training for adults. Dancer, say, of course, he's a little off him. You met him?
Never have.
Dancer?
I've heard y'all talk about
but,
it.
But he's a little erratic, in other words. And, But the old thing is, a person never gets too old to learn something. It don't matter where you go or what you do, it no matter who you work with or whatnot, it don't matter how smart you think you are. The dumbest person in the world can come up and show you something.
If you haven't ever had
that experience, why you never have done very much in your lifetime.
If you can just,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's what I tell them. Because I've had experience a lot of times, and most people agree with you if that's the truth.
Yeah.
If people, in other words, right at the university, I said, how'd you put all that confidence in me and tell old Dr. Hinges, the Oklahoma scholar that I call him? I don't know where you all met him or
not. No, don't talk. I don't care.
Don't make fellas up there.
No. Hinches. I don't care for him. Never
said. He said, I wasn't around you 2 weeks, and so I knew, you know, what you talking about, he said.
Old man Smoke never comes around?
Harry?
Yeah.
No, he goes up and see them widow women up there once in a while. Oh. He's up the other day, and I said, how are the widow women coming? He nodded his head.
Yeah.
And that's Alice and Lois.
Yeah.
That's when we were saving out the oats, you know, we combine the seed.
Yeah.
And we got 225 bushels. I believe it was.
Yeah.
10
right.
acres.
Yeah.
Well, Elbert Zetra, I thought there'd be about 30 bushels an acre. I said, isn't that much, because, you know, weather condition, it didn't come up right, see?
Well, now, Harry.
But then we cut it down and got a little over 6 tons of straw, in other words, as I say, you get more out of the straw than you do out of hay.
Yeah.
give you $32.50 a ton, and you put it on that wagon, and they unload it. You put it down there behind your pickup.
Yeah.
I brought both the empty wagons behind my pickup and filled them, and Lawrence said, I'll carry one and let Jake carry the other, and you go ahead and bail. And I told him, all right.
Yeah.
So he and Jake carried them and filled them up, had 100 bales on one and 90 bales on the other.
Is Jake doing all right?
And Jake, he carried one wagon, and his daddy carried the other.
Somebody said Jake wasn't doing too well.
No, he got on a bang with this old fella standing with Miss Hooper up here, you know. Miss Hooper's buddy.
Oh.
You know, you ever meet Miss Hooper?
Uh-huh.
She's got a buddy staying with her, and he's a veteran. He gets a pension, and, oh, he's terrible.
He stays
drunk half the time.
Yeah.
Ride around. He gets Jake, and Jake got to run him down, and Lawrence said to Jake and that farmer boy, said, I don't know what you're going to do. And said, farmer, they're going to send him to Chattahoochee.
Well, they ought to. Should have done a long time ago.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, now Harry Smoke goes over and talks to widow women.
Yeah, he was there the day, you know, we was going by the hay, and that's when I teased him, you know, I just cracked him.
Yeah.
I said, how's the widow women coming to do? And that's when he nodded.
Yeah, he likes what you teased him.
Yeah, that's what I know he does. Yeah, he likes it. He helped him build that addition on there, you know, he got a little bit of money out of that deal. We built her that addition. She spent, you know, $1,000, I reckon, on two bedrooms. Yeah.
And he got part of it.
He got some of the money. She bought some material, and Harry got some of the cotton away.
Yeah.
And they're laughing at Harry. And they done that, you know, joining the pillars up.
Yeah.
And Alice, you know, she's about 90. And you know how them old people like that is. They teasing Harry, you know.